Hello, my name is Marlene.
Ooh, I love the way you grow.
I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm featuring a snippet of the World Peace Diet book study, facilitated by Dr. Susan Craig. This book study is held online every Sunday. For details, please contact Dr. Susan Craig at drsusancraig@icloud.com or also on the website of worldpeacediet.com, which is Dr. Will Tuttle's website, and he is the author of The World Peace Diet. Much thanks to Dr. Craig and the attendees for sharing this recording, an excerpt of the recording of the August 2nd World Peace Diet Sunday book study.
So what we're going to do is we do 1 minute of silence at the beginning of the meeting, and that is in honor of all the animals and human beings who are suffering around the world. We'll begin the 1 minute of silence now.
For this radio broadcast, I'm editing it down to 3 seconds.
Okay, that's our minute. And then we'll do a quick introductions. So I'm Susan, vegan, retired educator, now living off-grid and have an animal sanctuary and a certified veganic farm in Northern California. I'm the facilitator of this meeting. I just wanted to share important information about veganism. So that's why I'm here.
The introductions in this August 2nd, 2026 World Peace Diet book study were people from Kenya.
And Kenneth is doing amazing work in Kenya, raising awareness about veganism and also veganic agriculture. Awesome work.
Colombia, Adelaide, South Australia, Alberta, Canada. Another woman in the boondocks in Northern California.
Lily. And Lily started this whole thing. She had a phone-based World Peace Diet Sunday for almost 5 years that I participated in, which was awesome.
A person in San Francisco, San Diego, and me in Massachusetts.
My name's Marlene. I live in Massachusetts, and I have been a World Peace Diet facilitator since 2012.
Awesome, Marlene. And Marlene has Vegan Nation radio show every Tuesday out of a nonprofit radio station in Massachusetts. Awesome show. Thank you, Marlene. So thanks, everyone. So I am now going to do a screen share of the book, and we'll begin our reading for tonight, which we're starting on, I believe it's page 27, chapter 2, and we are off and running. All right, I'll go ahead and begin the reading, and I'll read a little bit, then we'll pause for discussion, and then I'll ask someone else to pick up the reading, and we'll just take turns. The word vegan, newer and more challenging than vegetarian, because it includes every sentient being in its circle of concern and addresses all forms of unnecessary cruelty from an essentially ethical perspective, with a motivation of compassion rather than health or purity, points to an ancient idea that has been articulated for many centuries, especially in the world's spiritual traditions. It indicates a mentality of expansive inclusiveness and is able to embrace science and virtually all religions because it is a manifestation of the yearning for universal peace, justice, wisdom, and freedom. The contemporary vegan movement is founded on loving kindness and mindfulness of our effects on others. It is revolutionary because it transcends and renounces the violent core of the herding culture in which we live. It is founded on living the truth of interconnectedness and thereby consciously minimizes the suffering we impose on animals, humans, and biosystems. It frees us all from the slavery of becoming mere commodities. It signifies the birth of a new consciousness, the resurrection of intelligence and compassion, and the basic rejection of cruelty and domination. It is our only real hope for the future of our species because it addresses the cause rather than being concerned merely with effects. From this new consciousness, we can accomplish virtually anything. It represents the fundamental positive personal and cultural transformation that we yearn for. And it requires that we change something basic, our eating habits. It's funny how we want transformation without having to change. Yet the fundamental transformation called for today requires the most fundamental change, a change in our relationship to food and to animals, which will cause a change in our behavior. To some, simply becoming vegan looks like a superficial step. Can something so simple really change us? Yes. Given the power of childhood programming and of our culture's inertia and insensitivity to violence against animals, authentically becoming a committed vegan can only be the result of a genuine spiritual breakthrough. This breakthrough is the fruit of ripening and effort. However, it is not the end, but the beginning of further spiritual and moral development. Veganism is still exceedingly rare, even among people who consider themselves spiritual aspirants, because the forces of early social conditioning are so difficult to transform. We are called to this, nevertheless. Otherwise, our culture will accomplish nothing but further devastation and eventual suicide. Any comments about that?
At this point in the book study, there are several comments, and for this broadcast, I've edited that out and will continue to the reading.
Well, we're at chapter 3 now. Does anyone want to pick up the reading?
For the next reading, for the purposes of the show, I have boosted the recording up to 1.25 and inserted the Geese Song by Will Tuttle from his album Animal Songs as an underlay. The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. The reader, who is Daniel, starts with two quotes. Each chapter of the World Peace Diet starts with quotes. So he starts with those two quotes and then he goes into the writing of Dr. Will Tuttle.
Okay, chapter 3, The Nature of Intelligence. It should not be believed that all beings exist for the sake of the existence of man. On the contrary, all the other beings, too, have been intended for their own sakes, and not for the sake of anything else, Maimonides. If one looks with a cold eye at the mess man has made of history, it is difficult to avoid the conclusion that he has been afflicted by some built-in mental disorder which drives him towards self-destruction, Arthur Koestler. On the taboo against knowing who you eat. The suppression of awareness required by our universal practice of commodifying, enslaving, and killing animals for food generates the built-in mental disorder that drives us toward the destruction not only of ourselves, but of the other living creatures and systems of this earth. Because this practice of exploiting and brutalizing animals for food has come to be regarded as normal, natural, and unavoidable, it has become invisible. Though it is fundamental, it continues to be virtually ignored in the ongoing public discourse about why we have the problems we have and how we can solve them. This lack of mindfulness is tragic in the classical sense. It obviously derives from the fact that the writers, speakers, researchers, theologians, doctors, politicians, businessmen, economists, and those who are in positions of leadership and influence, as well as those who are not, all regularly eat foods derived from cruelly treated animals and would prefer to collectively ignore the disturbing consequences of this behavior. Our culture encourages us to be omnivores. Eating everything has become an apt description of our culture as it consumes and ravages global ecosystems. It is ironically true on an individual level as well. Because of the industrialization of food production, we eat artificially colored, flavored, refined, processed, irradiated, engineered, and chemical-laden products that confirm we will eat virtually anything and everything. We are relentlessly pressured by corporate advertising to swallow anything. And thanks to our well-practiced ability to insulate our awareness from the horror we regularly consume during our meals, it's easy for us to similarly block our awareness of the toxic chemical preservatives and residues in our food. We may even pride ourselves on not being choosy about what we eat. Besides leading to reliable profits for the medical and pharmaceutical industries, this mentality leads to our co-creation of a culture that is omnivoracious. Its voracious appetite hungers to consume virtually everything, transforming the beauty and diversity of nature into the gadgets, toys, and foods we crave, and that never satisfy our inner hunger, but lead inevitably to distraction, addiction, frustration, and environmental devastation. Animals, ever vulnerable, bear the burden of our voracious hunger. Their suffering returns in the end to us as well. Eating animals is thus an unrecognized foundation of consumerism, the pseudo-religion of our modern world. Consumerism can only flourish when we feel disconnected and yearn to placate this by consuming, which is a warped attempt at reconnecting with the larger order. Because our greatest desensitization involves eating, our most sacred, essential, and defining act of consuming, we inevitably become desensitized consumers with increasingly voracious appetites. And then there's a little note here. In the ancient Greek tragedies, the protagonist invariably suffers downfall and destruction because of his character defects, the chief ones being hubris and obtuseness. Through commodifying animals, we have ironically and unavoidably constructed a system that ultimately commodifies us as well. Our net worth is measured in dollars, as cows are sold by the pound. Okay, I'll stop there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you very much for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm featuring the World Peace Diet book study group facilitated by Dr. Susan Craig in Northern California. We'll be taking a short break and then we'll continue with the reading. Much thanks for tuning into Vegan Nation. Welcome back from the break. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. I'm featuring the World Peace Diet book study group facilitated by Dr. Susan Craig in Northern California.
Hi, this is Lily Macy. I live in Humboldt County. I've been a vegan for 20 years since I first read the World Peace Diet. Thanks, everybody, for being part of it.
Thank you so much, Lily.
This recording is a 15-minute excerpt of the one-hour book study, held every week, every Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Kenneth from Kenya.
I'm a vegan for 5 years, and I'm doing a lot of awareness and organizing events to my communities. Thank you.
Hey, my name is Gino Murillo. I live in San Diego. I've been a vegan animal rights activist for 14 years in November.
Gino, go ahead.
Because virtually all of us are omnivores, our cruelty is invisible and unmentionable, like an enormous family secret. John Bradshaw, Virginia Satir, and others who have been attempting to illuminate the psychological repercussions of dysfunctional families over the last 25 years have emphasized that the more dysfunctional a family is, the more secrets it has. The secrets are the ongoing addictive and abusive behaviors that are never discussed. Child abuse, sexual abuse, drug addiction, and alcoholism have been cultural secrets that in order to be healed must be brought into the light, fully acknowledged, and then worked through in open discussion. In dysfunctional families, the secrets and shadows stay buried and painfully unresolved, manifesting as shame, suicidal behavior, aggression, violence, emotional distancing, and psychological numbing. The biggest secret our dysfunctional cultural family has is our horrific brutality against animals for meals, and this shadow drives us into violent and suicidal behavior. The secret is never mentioned or even recognized in our ongoing discussions of dysfunctionality, because being omnivores and thus complicit perpetrators of abuse, we don't want to talk about it. Our efforts to understand family dysfunctionality can thus raise consciousness only to a certain extent. These efforts are vital, though, because they're part of the necessary preliminary work for facing the larger, deeper, more fundamental, and more ruinous shadow secret our relentless and hidden abuse of animals for food. The remorse and grief we suppress about the horror we routinely and efficiently inflict on animals in order to eat them is natural and healthy. People who kill or torture others without remorse appall us, and we lock them up as sociopaths and psychopaths. Yet, we torture and kill animals who feel pain and fear just as we do. And though we try to ignore and discount their suffering at our hands, we know deep down that it's unnecessary, horrifying, and immoral. There is a German saying, Übung macht den Meister, practice makes the master. If we practice golf and tennis, we become proficient at golf and tennis. And golf and tennis become part of us and part of our way of being. If we practice music, art, drama, or martial arts, we become proficient in these, and they influence us and become part of our way of being. If we practice generosity, kindness, and thoughtfulness, we become skilled at being more generous, kind, and thoughtful of others, and these qualities become part of our way of being. If we practice killing, lying, and stealing, we become adept at killing, lying, and stealing, and these activities become part of us and part of our way of being. By relentlessly and assiduously practicing the ability to disconnect the reality of the flesh, cheese, or egg on our plate from the reality of the misery of feeling being endured to provide it, we have become masters at reducing feeling beings to mere objects, to tools, to means, to property. We have become skilled at being numb and switching off at not feeling sympathy for the suffering that we demand by our desire to eat animal foods. We have become masters of denial, absolutely refusing to register in consciousness the consequences of our actions. This denial becomes a sort of paralysis that prevents effective and innovative action. Practiced since infancy, our daily rituals of eating have made us highly skilled in the art of objectifying others. This is an enormous tragedy, and we have hardly allowed ourselves to become aware of it. In our churches, ministers often speak about the tragedy of loving things and using people, when we must instead love people and use things. After the services, people eat meals in which animals have become things to be used, not loved. This action ritually repeated propels us into using people just as we use animals as things. We all know in our bones that other animals feel and suffer as we do. If we use them as things, we will inevitably use other humans as things. This is an impersonal, universal principle, and ignoring it doesn't make it go away. It operates with mathematical regularity as Pythagoras taught. What we sow in our treatment of animals, we eventually reap in our lives. Because it is a taboo to say this or make this fundamental connection in our hurting culture, we can go to church assured that we will not be confronted by the discomforting entreaty to love all living beings and to use none of them as things. This taboo against speaking about our treatment of animals for food is so strong that I can often feel it as a living force. For several years, I've been speaking on Sunday mornings at progressive churches and centers, primarily unity churches, and giving seminars on developing intuition. I find in addressing groups of even apparently progressive people that when I begin to raise the topic of the inherent cruelty to animals involved in viewing them as things and the ethical and spiritual ramifications of our cultural practice of eating them, it seems I must push through an invisible psychic wall that absolutely resists hearing these ideas articulated. It seems to be the unconscious collective denial of the group.
Let's have a little musical interlude. This is Ellie Sarti, Creatures Great and Small.
Just the kids in pajamas with the little lambs painted blue and white. Tuck them in with the nursery book of baby bunnies sleeping tight. Salt and pepper shaker cows, oven mitts of chicks and sows, creatures great and small, we love them all. Next day, time for a family trip to see the animals in jail. Prisoners all the way from Africa, Alaska, and the Conga Trail. Elephants in pink tutus till they're used as research tools. Creatures great and small, we love them all. songs say they are weak, we are strong. As we sing the golden rule, don't do what you don't want done to you. Lunchtime, it's bologna sandwiches in the lunchbox, picturing babe. Hop in, we'll take a carriage horse ride, though it's 90 in the shade. We'll kill two birds with one stone, put our ducks all in a row. Creatures gray and small, we love them. Lullabies and Bible songs say they are weak, we are strong. As we sing the golden rule, don't do what you don't want done to you. Just the kids in pajamas with the little lambs painted blue and white. Tuck them in with the nursery rhyme of cows that jump the moon at night. Monkey see is monkey do, the lambs that follow us to school.
We just heard some of the reading of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, a book study group held every Sunday. And here's a short snippet of some of the discussion section of the book study, August 2nd, 2026.
We love them.
And I enjoyed having the author of the book last week talking about things.
Thank you, Steve.
Will's writing is just phenomenal, so it's lovely to be a part of this group.
Thank you, Keith.
For anybody who hasn't seen the movie, the documentary, Christspiracy, I cannot recommend that highly enough. It's so awesome. And there's been an ongoing series of videos on YouTube. Cameron Waters, one of the creators of that, he's been making all these videos like elaborating on all the themes in that documentary. It's just really, really good stuff.
Great, thank you.
Can I just add to that the reference to Keith Aker's book, Lost Religion of Jesus? I've read that, and also his other book, Disciples, and they're fantastic as well to read.
Great, thank you. Creation Care Church is a vegan Christian church that is online. They have a service on Friday afternoons and a prayer group on once a month on Sunday. It's pretty cool. Craig Wesco is the pastor. We should wrap up, and we do conclude our meeting with the prayer circle for the animals. But before we do, Tammy, again, let us know what it is that you're doing.
I'm teaching a 6-module workshop on CompassionGames.org. It's on Wednesday evenings, or Wednesday at 5:30 Mountain, so 4:30 Pacific. And the next module will be on widening our golden rule.
Okay, thank you. Thanks very much for doing that. Okay, so we're going to repeat three times together in unison. It's the prayer circle for the animals. It goes like this. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. We'll repeat it three times, and then that's the end of our meeting.
This concludes my feature of World Peace Diet Sunday. It's the World Peace Diet book study group held every Sunday, facilitated by Dr. Susan Craig. Let's go out with Everything Comes Around by Ellie Sati, founder of Compassion Arts.
Behind a steel door, behind the concrete and barbed wire, sentenced to darkness, sentenced to living dead, the warehoused merchandise.
start of the show, we heard the song Water by DJ KVAM. I'd like to extend great gratitude to DJ KVAM. Thanks to Dr. Will Tuttle for his music, the Calf Song and the Geese Song. And also much thanks to Dr. Susan Craig and the participants of World Peace Diet Sunday, the book study. Interested folk can contact Dr. Susan Craig at drsusancraig@icloud.com. That's her email address. Or you can go to the website of worldpeacediet.com. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week. At the same time, you can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a safe and pleasant day. Much thanks to Ellie Sarti. Everything comes around.